Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. And we have a wonderful, wonderful show for you today. This is the Archdiocesan Show for St. Paul in Minneapolis that deals with evangelization. And today we're going to talk about that. Always a reminder to you about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, as well as a relationship with Jesus through his wonderful body, the body of Christ, the Church. We're going to actually be talking about that today and helping you calibrate your relationship with the Lord. I hope you're doing well. We're kind of in the stretch of winter here where we're getting into some cold weather, and people are, I think they're kind of longing for the spring about this time. And, you know, everything we encounter in life, even the seasons, I think it always points to something beyond it. And C.S. Lewis once said that. He said that everything we see, everything we desire, everything we experience that really touches the heart, it really points to something even beyond, which is, I think, the beatific vision. That is a big fancy word for to be with God forever and ever and ever. And that's going to be exciting. A little bit later here, we're going to introduce Matthew James Christoph, no stranger to the show. He is the founder of the New Evangelization. We're going to talk a little bit about men. We're going to talk about everybody, but we're going to focus on men at one point in the conversation because we've got a wonderful conference coming up. And maybe you've heard it advertised on Relevant Radio. It's the Archdiocesan Men's Conference. It's coming up on February 27th, and it's going to be at St. Thomas, University of St. Thomas. And we're going to be together from about 7 in the morning. That's when confession starts. But the actual conference begins at 8, and it goes to 12:30. This year is going to be different. It is different in so many different ways. For one thing is that Bishop Cousins is going to be the keynote address, and he's going to talk about really the state of where we're at with men in the Catholic Church, men in their relationship with Christ, men in their relationship to their families, and how to grow with one another in fraternity, and how to be accountable to one another. I'm also going to be speaking at that conference, and I'm going to present a vision for the Archdiocese for a men's ministry that is parish-based, doesn't replace parish programs, but adds to it in such a way that men will really be able to focus on growing in Jesus. So we're going to talk about that just a little bit later on. But I do want to talk today with you as you're driving around the Twin Cities. Maybe you can't get out today. You might be in a nursing home, or you might be at home due to illness or whatever it might be. Wherever you are, I want to talk to you today about your relationship with Jesus. It's something that I think sometimes we don't really pay a lot of attention to it. You know, we ask people, are you Catholic? Or are you a Christian? Are you a believer? And they say, well, absolutely, absolutely they are. But if you really looked at the life of that believer under a spiritual microscope, you'd have to ask yourself, are they really following somebody? Or are they just believing something, you know, some teaching, which we do need to know the teachings, don't get me wrong, but we have to get about following him and responding to that call. And I want to talk about that today with you. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? You might say, well, I do go to church. And that's fine. That's good. And you need to, because it's part of what is necessary to grow in Christ. You have to have a relationship with the body of Christ. You really do. If you want to be all that, to use that old phrase, all that you can be, You do need the church. I'm going to talk to you about that why, and Matthew James Christoph is going to be joining us to talk about that too. But you do need a personal relationship with Christ. Let me tell you why. If you really want to get to know Jesus, if you really want to grow in Christ, it has to come from a personal decision to follow him and to become like him and to say yes to all that he is teaching. And the church is here, as you enter into the church is here to teach you. The church is here to accompany you in the sacraments throughout all of life, even to the very end. But here's the interesting thing. For those that believe that we don't have to have a personal relationship with God, which I really doubt there's that many that really, really believe that, get this. When it's all said and done, when the bills are paid, the house is paid off, the kids are gone, the health is gone, and you breathe, you're last. You are going to stand before God, and you're going to stand before God alone. It's going to be one of the most personal engagements, if not the most personal engagement you've ever had with God. You're going to stand before God, and we're going to give an account of our life lived in this body, accompanied by the church, lived within the heart of the church, but in the end, it's you and God. I'm not going to be there with you. The archbishop's not going to be there with you. The saints aren't going to be there with you. You're going to be standing before God. And that is really a sobering thing, isn't it? But until then, guess what? We're all here. We're all together, and we can help each other. We can learn from each other. There's different parts of the body of Christ. Some are hidden. Some are more prominent. But they're all necessary. And we've been given a great gift in being a part of this wonderful Catholic Church. But I do want to talk to you today about your personal relationship with the Lord, as well as your corporate relationship with the Lord. So if you know of somebody that really needs to hear this today, give them a call right now and tell them to tune in, because I'd love to talk to them. And I know that Matthew, James, Christoph would love to talk to them too about growing in Christ. And that's what we're talking about today, is coming to know the Lord both in a personal way and as a church corporately. We are going to learn how to walk with God. And I have a feeling that something's going to come up in the broadcast today that just might be something you're looking for, and it could change your life. So stay tuned. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We'll be right back with Matthew, James, Christoph, talking about a personal relationship with the Lord as well as a corporate. Rediscover.
You've been talking about updating a bathroom in your home for months, maybe years, but didn't know who to call. I'm Jim Alberts of AJ Alberts Plumbing. After 26 years, our family business has grown to offer many products and services that add value, reliability, and style to your home. AJ Alberts is more than just plumbing. We can be your one-stop shop for complete kitchen and bath updates and convenience features like grab bars, roll-in showers, or walk-in tubs for safety at home. Our showroom in Woodbury features working displays of the latest high-quality plumbing fixtures, and we offer full kitchen and bath design service. We can also visit your home to help with design or other plumbing issues.
More than just plumbing, AJ Alberts provides a worry-free warranty for services, fixtures, fast-friendly service, and a quality job at a great price.
Whether we're installing a water heater, water softener, or performing complete updates that add value and convenience to your home, our attention to detail is second to none. Please call us at 651-738-0580. AJ Alberts Plumbing. There is a difference.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and this is the hour where we talk about the new evangelization and encountering Jesus Christ at a personal level, also as a corporate thing, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Quick reminder, if you just joined us, I know some of you just got in the car and you're only going to be with me for a few minutes. I got to tell you, write it down, February 27th. It's the big men's conference in the Archdiocese. It's at the University of St. Thomas, 8 in the morning to 12:30. We extended it a half an hour this year for you. So I hope you will go to the website and sign up right now. It's rediscover-faith.org, and you can sign up. Sign up a buddy, too. I mean, as a gift. Just say, hey, I already paid for you, and I want you to come with me. Maybe they've never been to an event like this before. This could be a change in their life, and you might be the tool that God uses, the instrument that God uses to bring other people to Him. It can be part of your Lenten journey. Joining us on the show today to talk about Coming to know the Lord, both personally and corporately, is a good friend, no stranger. That's Matthew James Christoph. He's the founder of a new evangelization, which is taking root. He is writing a lot around the country about men and men's issues, and really, really one of the hearts of this initiative in the Twin Cities called the Catholic Watchman, which we're going to be unveiling at the big conference on February 27th. Matthew James Christoph, welcome to the Rediscover Hour again.
Well, hello, and hello, everybody. What a wonderful day. It might be cold, but if you look out the window, look at that sun. Yeah. I mean,
unless
it fills with joy.
Unless it's Sunday and it's a rebroadcast, then imagine it. But it's good to have you on here. Things are getting exciting. We are the ladies, the women of the new, in the new evangelization conference, WINE. They just had their conference last week. Absolutely sold out at nearly 1,100 people. And from what I understand, it was crazy successful.
Oh, I'm hearing great things too. And, you know, hey, guys out there, you know, we love our ladies, but we got to make this men conference beat 1,100, and I'm sure we will. You know, it's such a blessing to have. I know a lot of women listen to this broadcast, and just to start, you know, thanks be to God for everything you've done and continue to do for the church and for your families. I pray that you can help evangelize your men. And if you have ever been frustrated and said, you know, geez, I really don't know how to reach my husband, he's not engaged, get him to go to the men's conference, because this year is going to be something completely different, unlike any men's conference in the country. Oftentimes these things, Jeff, as you know, and you speak at a lot of them, they tend to be single events, and you go away for 12 months, and then you do the next one. This one is actually a very specific call by our bishop, Andrew Cousins, to men to challenge them. You know, this is a kickoff for a movement,
right,
as opposed to a single event.
Well, I think that is one of the things that makes this very different, is that it didn't just come up on the calendar and say, hey, Matthew, it's time to do another men's conference. What should we do? This has a real point to it. You know, and that is that Bishop Cousins, as you said, has called this. He is calling men together to grow, and has a special message for them with something to follow up with that will help men grow in their relationship with the Lord, which as a result means that they're going to be better husbands, better brothers in Christ, better sons, better meaning holier, more faithful. And that's really what we're looking at this year. And you're right, there's a lot of women who are so faithful to Christ whose husbands are about two steps behind. And I've noticed that over the years, you know, when I was in ministry as a Protestant and then coming back into the Catholic Church, it really didn't make a difference whether it was Protestant or Catholic. There seemed to be that phenomenon of women who, they love the Lord and they just wish their husbands would be with them in this amazing walk. And I know that's out there. I know it is.
You know, I'm a perfect example of that. My wife, Tamara, I wasn't two steps behind her. I was miles behind her. For all of you who, you ladies who worrying are concerned about your husbands, continue to pray, continue to be diligent, and invite them to into the faith, and your prayers will be answered.
Very true.
You know, as we're thinking about this personal relationship with Jesus, one of the things that I think, you know, as the foundational for all of the things that are happening in, not only in the Twin Cities, but across the country regarding men, is that there's this serious man crisis. One in three baptized Catholic men have left the faith. Some 60 to 70% of Catholic men are not active in their faith. They're lukewarm. And at the core of all that is that they don't know Jesus. They haven't met Jesus, because if Jesus is who he says he is and who we believe him to be in the church, you can't meet him and be lukewarm.
Right.
So at the core of, you know, why are people not going to Mass? Why are men not going to Mass? Why are they not passing the faith along to their children? They haven't yet had that encounter,
right,
that converts their hearts and makes them alive. And I know we're going to talk a lot about kind of how that happens, but that's at the core. So, you know, if you're thinking about how to re-engage the faith, it's get to know Jesus. Start there.
It really is the key. And just to close that topic up for now, I would say to you listening, all ladies, that If you want your husband to grow, just suggest that he go to the conference. Look it up. Figure out how to get the tickets right now at rediscover-faith.org. Make it easy. Do you know how many times, Matthew, I've wanted to do something, and I don't do it because I don't want to go online and figure it out? But if somebody figured it out for me and handed me a ticket, I'd probably go, you know, to that opera or whatever. But I think that a lot of men don't want to go through that process. In fact, I know it. You know, the women, look at this. Women in the new evangelization, they sold out way before. All the tickets were gone. Every year, the men will do like 350 tickets sold, and 1,200 will show up, you know, on that day. It's such a manly thing, I guess. But we've got to change that. We got to know what to order you guys for breakfast, because you eat so much. By the way, we're live on Periscope right now on the Friday edition. And if you have your phone and you use Periscope, you can also see this handsome guy next to me called Matthew James Christoph.
But no, don't look.
So we'll say more about that later. But let's talk about this issue of coming to know Jesus. You know, we hear people talking about their relationship with Jesus in a number of different ways. And we hear them talking about coming to know Jesus through the church. We hear people talking about a personal relationship with Jesus. And I've even heard some Catholics will say, well, that sounds strange to have a personal relationship with the Lord. They say that it almost sounds Protestant in some ways. And you know, I just want to dismiss that right away. It's not Protestant or Catholic. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to have a personal relationship with Protestants and a corporate relationship with Catholics. He wants a personal and a church relationship, a corporate relationship with all of us.
Absolutely. I mean, you think about it. I mean, throughout the Old Testament, God comes to man in veiled ways, mm-hmm. sometimes in a burning bush, in different ways. Jesus goes to an awful lot of trouble to show up. You know, Our Lady has the Immaculate Conception, Immaculate Birth. It sends the Holy Spirit to her, calls Saint Joseph, and then spends 33 years on earth, mm-hmm. getting to know us. It's personal.
Yeah, and I'll add to that and say that that Jesus spoke to individuals personally all the time. He spoke to Peter. And he spoke to Peter very personally about his leadership role and about denying him, and spoke to Judas personally. He spoke to people personally, yet he also related to them as a group, as his body. So both of them are very, very important. And I would argue that knowing Christ both personally and corporately is necessary and should be embraced, fostered, and celebrated. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But if you contrast these two, a strictly personal relationship, and by the way, I wrote about this in the Catholic Spirit that's coming out, a strictly personal relationship with Jesus. That is a relation which I would contend there is no such thing as strictly a personal, but a strictly personal relationship with Jesus. That is a relationship independent of the broader life of the church, as experienced in the sacraments, prayer, and life within the liturgical calendar, is limited, and it lacks a number of key elements. And these key elements, such as the real presence of Christ, which has a personal aspect also to it. I mean, Christ is coming inside of you. You know, he's coming to the body of Christ, and then he comes inside of you. But these key elements, such as the real presence of Christ, accountability as regards sin, and the sharing of the common deposit of faith that we have received in sacred scripture and sacred tradition, it contributes to a growing up in Christ that cannot be experienced alone.
He gives us the Our Father, mm-hmm. which is not the My Father, it's the Our Father. So he calls us collectively. And I think in anybody any man that has a profound conversion experience, where he finds so much of the strength is with other men. And, you know, me and Jesus alone can only take you so far, mm-hmm. and certainly can't take you to the sacraments.
Well, I wrote a long time ago about that and kind of gave a name to it, and that is that if you want Jesus without his mother and without his father, St. Joseph, and the brothers and sisters, the saints, then you're going to have to elope. It's called Taking Jesus to Vegas, and that is not his plan, you know, is to take Jesus to Vegas. He wants you to be one with him and to experience the entire family. Now, I mentioned the problems with a strictly personal, quote-unquote personal relationship, but also a strictly, quote-unquote corporate relationship with Jesus. That is a relationship that is exteriorly orthodox and compliant with church teaching, but lacks a personal encounter and communion. That lacks lacks an interior intimacy and a place of inner communion and conversion. That also is lacking.
I think that's exactly right. You can look at the numbers of what's happening in the church with people falling away from the faith, and at the core of that, they don't have that encounter with Jesus. Frank Sheed, wonderful evangelist, says something along the lines, "It'd be a strange God indeed who could be loved more by being known less." And so I think for so many, and I know this for sure for men because I've talked to many of them and done a lot of research on this, Jesus is conceptual. He's abstract. He's a statue. He's a historical figure. He's not somebody who they know and they can, you know, look in the eye and have a deep knowledge of who he is. Mm-hmm. And this lack of knowing is what leads us to be lukewarm.
It does.
And when you don't have that personal relationship, that personal accountability, it's easy to stray. And I think probably later we're going to talk about how you actually, you know, start to take those steps to know Jesus personally, as opposed to, you know, we're talking about the need to know Jesus.
Right.
But this is kind of at the core of what I think any renewal in faith is going to be based on. And you know, we can look at our last three popes. St. John Paul II wrote extensively on the importance of meeting Jesus. Pope Benedict wrote not one, not two, but three books on Jesus. And of course, Pope Francis has an incredible passion about people getting to know Christ personally. So, mm-hmm. you know, we're getting great direction here. We just need to listen.
Well, I think what captures our attention initially does vary. It does. I'll give you an example. I think it's fair to say that there are many ways that God makes his initial entrance into someone's life and grabs their attention. I know that there are some who are literally struck to the heart, to the core, by the beauty of the liturgy, and their heart is drawn closer to Christ. And there's something that is drawing them in the liturgy that is beyond the things they see, smell, and hear. And there's a mystery beyond the signs encountered, a mystery that really draws the heart. Still, others, including myself, when I was 18 years old, I was drawn by the testimony of a friend who encountered Christ in daily prayer and private Bible reading. And I still remember sitting at the kitchen table with my future mother-in-law, and she opened the Bible, and I looked at her, I looked at the Bible, I looked at her, I looked at the Bible, and there was an invitation to me to that personal relationship that made me hungry. I wanted that. That was what I wanted. So I think it's fair to say that both personally and corporately, there are things that we do as believers that become attractive to other people.
Right. Well, the practice, just the practice of the faith, I think, is a powerful draw to many people. You know, Jesus is so compelling when you start to just understand who he is through Scripture, like you're talking about, that I think men are hungry for that. It, you know, we have so many false idols out there, be it politicians, be it sports people, sports heroes, other kinds of entertainers, and they all fail, and they all pale compared to the magnificence and the awesomeness of Christ Jesus, our King. And if we get to know him, you know, we'll love him more, we'll follow him more, and not only that, we'll be full of joy. Because Christ brings us peace and joy. That's ultimately what he promises, eternal peace and joy, the Beatitude.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, this emphasis on Jesus that we're talking about is so fundamental. And any man who's wondering about how to take the next step, you can't go wrong by trying to meet Jesus, because he'll come to you.
Right. And I think that's an important point, too. When you mentioned Jesus, it just reminded me of an important point, and that is that at the beginning of every relationship with God, whoever it is, it may be you driving the car right now, but and you're wondering why you're even listening to this. Well, it started not with you. It started with God, and he was drawing you, and he has been drawing you. And in theology, they call this prevenient grace. It's this drawing of your heart even before you know that you are being wooed by God. And so every relationship, whether it be a personal aspect, the personal aspect or the corporate aspect, began with Christ, not you. Jesus said, you didn't call me. He said, I called you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. You know, and so if you have any hunger in your heart, it began with God, because he is calling you with an invitation to a life of intimacy, and provides it provides a relationship with you, or gives you a relationship that will really satisfy the deep, deep longing of the heart. And so when we say yes to Jesus, whether it be alone, quietly, or whether it be in a great big group setting and some kind of call to give your life to Christ, eventually it's going to involve you being immersed into the body of Christ, and it will also involve you in a personal relationship in growing in holiness with the Lord. And let's just start with the church for a minute, Matthew. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do is we'll take a break, and then when we come back, let's start with the saying yes to Jesus, and that immerses us into the church, and the church takes us down a road to help equip us and fortify us and give us direction in our life so that our personal time with the Lord is enhanced and more fruitful. But in the early church, and I'll just say this before the break, in the early church, there really wasn't anybody wandering around on a personal level saying and announcing, I made a personal commitment to Christ today. They always looked for the church. They'd go to a city, and if they were interested, what do? They found out who's the bishop, who are the leaders, and they went to him. Paul even did this with Peter. And so the actual coming to Christ even involves the church. And we'll talk about that when we take a break. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. I'm talking with Matthew James Christoph about this process of coming to know Christ. We'll be right back.
This is Father Rocky with a catechetical minute on Relevant Radio. Do you know the Ten Commandments by heart? If you don't, then how can you keep them? The Ten Commandments are a gift from God, and those who make the effort to keep them will be happy on earth and rejoice forever in heaven. Here are the Ten Commandments. Let's see if you can do them with me. First, I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. Second, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Third, remember to keep holy the Lord's day. Fourth, honor your father and mother. Fifth, you shall not kill. Sixth, you shall not commit adultery. Seventh, you shall not steal. Eighth, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Ninth, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And tenth, you shall not covet your neighbor's goods. This has been a Catechetical Minute. To learn more about your faith, go to relevantradio.com, keyword cat.
I'm living a long, long life, and I will not let you go. Taking a long, long time to get here.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Are we having fun today or what? We are talking with Matthew James Christoph. He's the founder of the New Evangelization. That's right, Evangelization. I don't have anything in my mouth. And we're talking about this process of coming to know Jesus and kind of looking at the two aspects of the personal relationship and the corporate or the life in the church relationship with Jesus. By the way, welcome to everybody on Periscope who's watching on the Friday edition live. Periscope is an app you can get, and you can watch the video of the show live as we are doing this. And all that means is that we've had to take showers and get dressed up lately, and that's all the only thing that changed about the show. But we're talking about this process, and when we look at the process of coming to know Jesus, we know that before we were even looking for him, he was looking for me. He was looking for us, and St. Augustine says it this way, God thirsts that you would thirst for him. He was thirsty before you were thirsty, my friend, and somehow, some way, he got your attention. And that's why you're listening, and that's why you started reading, and that's why you started to inquire about him in the early church. The first thing you'd do is you would look for the church. You'd look for those believers who knew Jesus and knew how to develop a closer relationship with him. Jesus was gone. When he died and he rose from the dead, he ascended. He sat at the right hand of the Father. He is gone. But he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he did. He sent the Holy Spirit to guide us and to direct us and to teach us. Who's us? It's not just me. It's the church. And so the early believers, when they wanted this introduction to Jesus, would go to the early church like Paul went to Peter and sat at his feet and said, instruct me. So it's within the heart of the church that we receive the instruction, the catechesis, and we are eventually brought into full communion with the church in Holy Week, in the Triduum, the Easter Vigil. We as the church, we accepted you long before that. We brought you into the process, into the family to learn. Why? So that you can get as much out of this relationship with Christ as possible, because alone, you don't know. How are you to know? You say, oh, well, I got a Bible. Listen, that is open to so many different interpretations. You need guidance in even reading that. And that comes from within the heart of the church. So you start this process, this catechumenate. You come into the church. The church teaches you, instructs you. And then on the Easter Vigil, you are brought into full communion, into the body of Christ. You are baptized. You are confirmed. You receive the Eucharist. Christ comes inside of you. And my friend, you are set now. You are set to begin this build on this personal relationship now. Because when you leave the Easter Vigil, you will spend time with Jesus. But this process of coming into the church is so very important. And I think Matthew James Christoph is with us. I think this also affects men. And one of the reasons that men oftentimes don't experience a personal relationship with Christ is that they have not enjoyed a corporate or a fraternal relationship with other people.
That's exactly right. Men, you know, if you show up to Mass on an infrequent basis and you walk in, you know, there's the beautiful liturgy or perhaps maybe not as beautiful as you'd like to see sometimes, because men sometimes get turned off by a liturgy. And if you go in there by yourself and you leave by yourself, you don't get the fullness of the faith. And as you were saying, the early church gave us the model for how we are to grow in the faith. It's Acts 2:42. And I'll paraphrase, and they gathered together with steadfast devotion, with the apostles' teaching, the breaking of the bread, with fellowship and prayer. So from the very beginning, the way men entered the church, and I'm speaking specifically about men, was they gathered together with other men. And this is what's missing, not only in the church, but within culture. Mm-hmm. And so this idea of beginning to, and this is part of the model for how we're thinking about the evangelization of men in the archdiocese, is that if we just get men together on a regular basis, and they're led by their priest, and they're gathered with other holy men, there's going to be a great outpouring of grace. Mm-hmm. I know in my own life, for example, in my conversion, it was being around Catholic men. I wasn't Catholic at that point, but Catholic men who were fervent in their faith and invited me into friendship that made all the difference. I'm here because of that. And those men, may, perhaps listening, know who they are and they know the great debt I owe them.
So. I'm the same way. And when I made that decision, when I sensed the wooing of Christ to come into the fullness of the faith, back into the Catholic Church, the first thing I did, literally, isn't this funny? I mean, this is the modern version of the early church's desire to know where the church is. I got on the internet, and I started searching. You know, I wanted to know other people. I want to know what's going on. What are we teaching? What's the church teach? How do I get to know all of this? What are the main sources? You know, how do I read the Bible now? How do I read the catechism? What do the saints have to say with me? And I was immersed into this amazing, amazing family of God. So let's talk about both of these for a minute, because there are aspects of the corporate life in order to know Christ better that we really need to do regularly. And on the conference for men coming up on February 27th, and by the way, this is for women too, not the conference, but the things we're talking about, the things that that Christ requires of us to get to know him are common to all of us. And let's talk about some of those things corporately. Then let's talk about some of those things that we can do as individuals to foster this relationship, this personal relationship. But let's start off at the beginning with saying this. Jesus tells us in the teachings of the church that the Eucharist is the very center of our faith. This is the center of our faith. Think of it as the sun with all the other sacraments orbiting around it. All of the sacraments are ordered to the Eucharist. All of our life in the community is ordered to the Eucharist, which is why the church says to us that we need to be meeting every week. We need to come together every week. So one of the main points after coming to faith and being brought into the body of Christ on the Easter Vigil is we must remain faithful in coming to Mass, right?
Well, you know, the God from the very beginning creates a seven-day cycle, and the church in her wisdom, or certainly through the grace of God, maintains that cycle, right, in terms of the Sunday Mass, which is the Lord's Day. Any man that is battling against the great evils that are out there and tempting men day after day after day realizes how difficult that struggle is. For example, pornography is an epidemic touching virtually every single man, but large numbers of men are in addicted to this. Try to go a week if you've got that addiction without being tempted. You can't. The Eucharist and that day of rest is a refuge from that supernatural battle that's occurring because Satan wants your soul. He wants the souls of your children and your wife and your friends. That is a place where you can go and be rearmed, re-strengthened. Mm-hmm. Christ himself comes to you. It's, you know, we tend to think of the Mass sometimes as this obligation. And frankly, what we know, and we've talked a lot about this, and this is going to be fundamental to part of this movement in the Twin Cities, is that not every man, in fact, many Catholic men do not understand the Mass. It seems like an empty ritual. They don't really understand this powerful thing that's occurring. And in fact, they're in the presence of the King together with all our brothers and sisters. I mean, this should be the most amazing event, not only in your whole lifetime, but certainly your week, to have the chance to encounter Jesus in this real way. Mm-hmm. And it happens in the Eucharist.
Right. And not everybody can celebrate the Eucharist. Only an ordained priest can say those words, "This is my body, this is my blood," where bread and wine become literally the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And by the way, when we say only a priest can do that, somebody may say, "Well, why can't everybody else do that?" It's never been that way. In the Old Testament, only the priest could offer those sacrifices in the temple, and that's the way it was, and it continues on today.
Yeah, I think that's one of the great blessings of the priesthood. Mm-hmm. And so many men, I think, make excuses of, I need to sleep in. I worked, 90 hours this week, whatever. Jesus shows up for every Mass, every single one.
Not even late.
He's never late. He's always on time. He never leaves early, by the way. The least we can do to worship and honor him. A lot of men, by the way, this is another common error that I certainly was guilty of for a lot of years. I'm just not getting anything out of it. Mm-hmm. But it's not about you, right? It's about giving glory to God. You take an hour of your week at minimum, mm-hmm, and give glory to God in the presence of all these other people there. It's what we're called to do.
Yeah, we are. So the Mass is very important in us experiencing Christ and coming to know Christ, and that is an experience that is the experience of the body of Christ. Number two, I would say that even knowing how to read the Bible and understanding all things that Jesus passed on to the disciples is a matter of sitting at the feet of the teachers of the church in Bible, catechism, the encyclicals that we've been given. There is a corporate expression to all of us, and that is common to all of us, that that we are the students learning. We are not the ones who are infused with all knowledge at the moment we say yes to Christ, but we our posture is one of a bent knee and learning at the masters, at the feet of the masters of St. Augustine and St. John Paul II and St. Peter, and of course there's sacred scripture and sacred tradition.
You know, for the man that's renewing his faith or re-upping or recommitting, you hear St. Augustine or you hear the encyclicals, your eyes start to glaze over. I know this to be true from my own experience. Very early from when I came into the church, somehow I stumbled into this thing. What the heck was it called again? Oh, the Great Adventure Bible Series. I'm making fun of Jeff here, but this is a fantastic way for a man to get immersed in salvation history. I mean, we're part of a story, and you know, if you don't know the story, you don't know the characters, you certainly are never going to understand and know Jesus, right? Because Jesus is present throughout salvation history, so you need that foundation. I'd say just a couple things very practical about knowing Jesus. You know, if you thought about getting to know another person, you don't start by you don't meet a guy on the street or in the grocery store and go, "Hey, I just met you. We're best friends. This is great. Really glad I know all about you." You'd never say that. So, your spouse, you know, you maybe if you're married, you saw this beautiful person and you wanted to get to know them, but you were moved by them, and so you go through this process of getting to know about someone, their history, their family, their personality, what they think, what they like, what their mission in life is. This is why Scripture is so critical. We need to immerse ourselves in Scripture so that we can understand and know Jesus about Jesus. Mm-hmm. But there's a second part of it, which is then not just knowing about, but having that relationship. So, you know, suppose you got married and then you never spent any time with your spouse again, and they lived in New York and you lived in Los Angeles. Yep. You wouldn't call it a marriage, right? No. You'd call it something else. So we've got to build that relationship, and that's prayer, right? That's conversational prayer and listening, yep. Being in the silence to listen to what Christ says to us.
One more thing that I would consider corporate, and then we'll move on to this personal, is in our lives, and you know Matthew, the same as myself and all of you, is that I need correction at times. There's times I miss the mark, and I miss it often, and I need help to get back on there. And if it's venial sin, meaning I've wounded this relationship with Christ, I need help. I do. I need grace. I need help. It's not something I can take care of all by myself. And mortal sin, and that is breaking the relationship with Christ, I'm in trouble, and I really need help. And the help comes from from the outside. And so confession is something that is a corporate experience that we really need to come to know Christ and to continue to grow in Christ.
Well, Christ is there. Mm-hmm. You're speaking through the priest. You're being absolved of your sin after you've confessed it by Christ himself.
But even knowing what sin is or what categories of sin, what's mortal, you know, and what's venial, how am I supposed to determine that? I need help.
Well, the church gives us, and we're living in a pluralistic age where, or an age where anything goes, and anything I want to do is fine, and I rationalize my behavior based on not having a commitment to really know the truth. The church gives us the truth; it's preserved it through right. The centuries.
Let's talk about the personal. You know, we know there's a lot of ways to come to know Christ within His body, but even within His body, I would say, is the personal. And I don't separate them. I don't separate them. In fact, here's a scripture to contemplate. It's John 14:23. Jesus said, "If a man loves me, he will keep my word." Notice it says, "If that man loves me, he personally will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him." So that's John 14:23. So relationships within a home are always personal, yet within a home dwells a family. And that's the way it is with the church. And so on a personal level, when you are living in the heart of the church and experiencing the graces and the teaching and the catechesis, that's the learning of the church and the healing from the sacraments. Now, what about you and Jesus? You have to implement this by yourself. And as I mentioned at the top of the hour, you're going to stand before God in judgment someday by yourself. And so it's incumbent upon you to exercise what you are learning within the body of Christ yourself and express it yourself and express it as a body together. I don't think we can separate these two things.
No, and the church gives us very clearly the disciplines that each person, a handful of disciplines that each person can do to take that action, right? Mm-hmm. To move from the desire to use your will to reach out to have their relationship. And there's a number of things. We're going to be talking a lot about that with the Catholic Watchman.
I was just thinking of that. Some of the things that we're mentioning here, the men are going to receive a prayer card. They're going to have seven. And I'm just going to leave it there. We've mentioned some already, but it's going to have 7 points that we're asking Catholic Watchmen to participate in on a daily, weekly, and a monthly basis that are not things we made up, did we?
No.
We didn't make these things up. We're kind of passing them on from the Lord.
Right. Well, you know, this whole idea of duty and discipline, and these are words that speak to a man. We have duty, right? Men rise to challenge. But if you want to be a disciple, you have to have the disciplines, mm-hmm. and disciplines and disciples are the same core word, right? They're practices that you do.
So one of them would be on the personal side would be prayer. We certainly experience that corporately. Once again, if you're listening, we're not separating this. You know what it is? It's two halves to the same whole. But prayer, personally, if you're going to grow in Christ, you need to spend time with Him and talk to Him, because He has some things in your life that He wants to work out, and He has some things He wants you to do. What would you suggest, Matthew, for a man? A woman can do, anybody can do this, but we're talking about men coming up on the 27th at the Archdiocesan Men's Conference at St. Thomas. When it comes to prayer, what are some disciplines that you participate in?
Well, absolutely, this need for constant prayer, or at least very frequent prayer. Our ideal is to be in a state of prayer all the time, but frankly, most of us, including me, have difficulty doing that. So first thing in the morning, before your feet hit the floor, it's the morning offering, giving yourself to Christ in the day, the Our Father, Hail Mary. The Lord and the church gives us corporately and individually our ability to say these prayers. It's praying during the day, certainly before every meal.
Right.
You know, imagine if you just started today. Every place you went, every time you took something into your body, you did the sign of the cross. I mean, the power of that would be amazing.
So number one is prayer. We need to have a prayer time with Jesus where we talk to Him if we want to become like Him and serve Him in His mission. Number two is, I would say, a personal time of study, of reading Scripture. And you mentioned that earlier, studying Scripture, studying the Catechism. A lot of people are going to the Catechetical Institute now and learning their faith. But on a personal level, read the Catechism, read the Bible, maybe Lectio Divina. You can Google that, Lectio Divina, the Rosary. That's a form of prayer. The Mass is the greatest form of prayer. But on a personal level, you've got prayer, you have reading Scripture. And then the third, I would say, is go to confession. You need to maintain a life of grace.
Right. The accountability that we should feel to God by understanding what is venial and mortal sin and going to confession and keeping that as a strong discipline, mm-hmm. helps keep us safe from sin.
Then finally, I would say, and there's so much more we could add to this. I mean, it would be nice to have an all-day show, but we don't. So I would add this to it, and it's a Hebrew word. It's called kavanah. Kavanah in Hebrew means really focus, and I think that one of the things that we need to do on a personal level with Jesus is to maintain focus throughout the day, and Matthew, you alluded to this, and that is constant prayer. It's being aware of the presence of God and the opportunities that God is giving people to be a blessing to other people. It might be something you say or do.
Right. And, you know, one of the big things of focus is accountability, and I'll come back to that. You know, end your day with an examination of conscience. The church has plenty of teaching on this. It doesn't have to be complex, but it's like, okay, God, here's what I think I did well today. Here's the things I failed at. I just want to give you glory. Please help me through the night. Mm-hmm. this examination of conscience is so critical because...
Father Gallagher has a great book on that, by the way. Well, we're almost out of time, and where does the time go? Literally, every time I do this show, it's like we start, and then the next thing I'm saying is we're out of time. But I want to encourage you today. Maybe you pulled over on the side of the road. Maybe you didn't even go into work right now because you just wanted to listen to what we were talking about because we're talking about Jesus, and that's great stuff. I want to remind you that God is calling you to a personal relationship. He's calling you to a relationship in the church. This is both sides of the same call. And respond to that. And finally, Matthew, James, Christoph, we want men there on the 27th, don't we? It's at St. Thomas, the university, from 8 in the morning to 12:30 afternoon, and we have a great conference for you. Bishop Cousins, I'm going to be speaking about the vision for the Archdiocese. Father Eckert is going to be there talking about the armament of a man. What are the weapons that we have as men? It isn't what people are thinking. It isn't a Luger or a Glock.
This is a priest who has spent time in the line of fire.
Yeah. Yep. So we're going to be talking all that about that. Ladies, if your husband's not listening to you right now, do him a favor. Sign him up. Go to rediscover-faith.org. Rediscover-faith.org and get those guys signed up. It's going to be an amazing morning, and bring more people with you as friends, because this might be an opportunity to evangelize and share the gospel with other people. Once again, that's February 27th. It's a Saturday. And we're going to have a fantastic time. And after that, I think the Archdiocese is just, we're going to continue to grow with this men's movement that's taking place. It's called?
Catholic Watchmen.
Catholic Watchmen. Matthew, thanks for joining us.
Thanks be to God.
Today. That's Matthew, James, Christoph. It's been great talking to you all today about this, and Matthew as well. We're going to take a break, and then we have a lot of other very, very cool things happening in the Archdiocese. Cool is Greek for very, very neat. So we are going to be talking about that when we come back from the break. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour.
Rediscover. St. Charles School is the place where community becomes family. We've been providing faith and knowledge since 1939 for the children of St. Anthony Village, Minneapolis, Northern Suburbs. We're able to offer a transfer grant for the 16-17 school year through a generous alumna who wants every child to have the opportunity to attend St. Charles. This grant covers 50% of tuition for students transferring into grades 1 through 7 from non-Catholic schools. We're also thrilled to offer new preschool options at St. Charles that work for families with kids ages 3 and up, no matter what their schedule is. Our preschool open house is February 18th at 6:30 p.m. Please contact us for a conversation, a tour, or to RSVP for our open house. We're on Facebook, and our new website is easy to find online, stchbschool.org, stchbschool.org. My name is Danny Kiefer. I'm the principal of St. Charles School, and we want to partner with you in providing faith and knowledge for your child for life.
Well, it's a new day. Oh, it's a new time. There's a new way. I'm gonna live my life for thee.
Yes, sirree, it's a new time, new day, new events all over this archdiocese. If you're looking for something to do, there's plenty. Paul Sadek joins me as we look over the menu.
Oh, we've got just a great assortment as usual. Are you familiar with Totus Tuus, this fun, energetic, parish-based summer catechetical program for children and junior and senior high youth is looking for college-age men and women to serve as Totus Tuus teams this summer. If you know an energetic young adult with ability to witness to the faith, consider inviting them to learn more about this dynamic summer opportunity. Visit archspm.org/totustuus. That's archspm.org/TOTUSTUUS. Applications are due March 1st.
In conjunction with Sherry Waddell and the Catherine of Siena Institute, Nativity of Our Lord Catholic Parish in St. Paul will be hosting two nights of formation on Following Christ with Purpose, a Lenten mission to continue the discussion on intentional discipleship. The speaker will be Deacon Mark Sesnick from the Catherine of Siena Institute. All are welcome to attend this free series. The program will go from 7 to 8:15 p.m. on Monday, February 15th and Tuesday, February 16th. Contact B.J. Kranz at bkranz@nativity-mn.org or call 651-696-5441 with any questions.
The Church of St. Peter in Forest Lake invites all widows and widowers to Mass and an agape dinner on Saturday, February 20th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Come and hear Father Al Backman's journey from husband, father, and grandfather to the priesthood. Father Al will speak on what does it mean or how does one live as the spouse of Jesus. Share in this agape dinner, a communal meal, in token of Christian fellowship. For more information, call Deacon Terry, 651-295-4444, or email moravecsr@yahoo.com.
Easy for you to say.
Oh, yes.
Bishop Andrew Cousins invites you to the Archdiocesan Men's Conference on Saturday, February 27th in the Anderson Fieldhouse at the University of St. Thomas. The theme of this year's conference is The Catholic Watchman, calling men to be protectors, providers, and leaders of their family and parish. Check online for registration at rediscover-faith.org. That's rediscover-faith.org. For questions, call Susanna Boley at 651-291-4411.
And what's coming up next on the Rediscover Hour?
Next on the Rediscover Hour, we're going to hear from Father David Bloom, Vocations Director for the Archdiocese. Father Bloom will join us to talk about the upcoming discernment events for women. He will also be learning about, TOTUS TUUS. It's a summer catechetical program where college-age men and women draw closer to Christ. It's going to be great. Also, Andrew Zipp's going to enjoy us. We'll see you next week.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.